Let's have a word of prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, we humbly come before thee now with bended heart and bended knees. Father, we come to be encouraged and provoked and strengthened and comforted through your word. Spirit of God, just do a work in each of our hearts now as we open your word. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. For you are our strength, our high tower, our Redeemer. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Happy New Year. How many times do we hear that? Every year, Happy New Year. Okay. I'm trying to figure out how I was going to start this. So I'm going to start with, you might want to open your Bibles to John, Gospel of John. Chapter 8. I'm going to start with, as we go into the new year, I'm going to read from an article by Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Many of you may have heard of her, Dr. Laura. I'm just going to read a few passages here. She starts off saying, "Moral decline creates a society of anger and hate. I have been a psychotherapist with a daily radio program administering to parents, families, individuals for almost half a century. I have seen trends, and they are not good. Daycare instead of mothering. Shacking up instead of commitments. Children in single mothers' home instead of safe families. Children navigating parents in separate homes and new family connections. Children and young adults committing suicide at unbelievable rates. Drug use and deaths escalating. Thanks to China killing us softly with fentanyl and skyrocketing depression and anxiety." She goes on to say, "When I was 16, I wore skirts to school and showed respect to teachers who took seriously their responsibility to get us ready for our life's work with reading, writing, history, art, mathematics, without ideological forays in gender identity and race hating." And then she concludes with this: "The decline of families' coherent educational experiences, religious education, and support for morals, values, principles, public leaders of character, and Mr. Rogers' influence has led us to a balkanized society with anger and hate and a personal sense of justification for hating. And young people now see the world through social media, a source not responsible for truth. No wonder they are lost." And again, that was from Dr. Laura Schlesinger. So, as we leave 2023, and go into the new year. And we look out over society, etc. We have crime, violence, protest, wars, inflation, corruption in the government, breakdown of family. Our Constitution is being ignored. Definition of family and marriage is redefined. The Bible is being attacked. There's no more right and wrong. Less and less law and order, and more division. Now, I could go on, but I think you get the picture. 2023 was a volatile year, and as we go into 2024, all I can say is fasten your seatbelt. With the presidential election coming up this year, adding to the rest of the term of the turmoil, it's going to be a wild ride. So it seems like I've opened this with a downer. Doesn't look good. And yet every year we say, Happy New Year. So having said all of that, my question is, does God have any encouraging words for us in these days? Can it be really a happy new year? Well, let's see. You should all be in John. I think I told you the wrong chapter. John chapter 6. That's what I thought. John chapter 6. I got to get there. I'm in the wrong chapter. Starting in verse 22. 6:22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one whereunto the disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Skipping down to 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now it's interesting that they saw the miracles, plural. It wasn't just one. They saw the miracles. Verse 28. Then they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? They were asking for a sign. Jesus just said, I've given you signs. You've seen the miracles that I've done. And now you're asking for another sign? Let's look at Matthew, Gospel of Matthew. chapter 12. Signs. We're always looking for signs. Is it going to be a good year? 2024, is it going to be a good year? What signs? Show us some signs that things are going to get better. Show us some signs that it's going to be a happy time. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Start in verse 38. Then certain of the scribes of the Pharisees and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Here we go. Everybody wants a sign. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given unto thee, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The Pharisees and the scribes wanted a sign, another sign, another sign, another miracle. But Jesus said, I'll give you another miracle. It's the only one I'm going to give you. I'm going to die, be buried, and rise again from the dead. Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 10. And straightway, Jesus entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth. Here they come again. And began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall be no sign be given unto this generation. I'm tired of giving you signs. I've been giving you signs and miracles, and you still don't believe. Will things be better in 2024? Does God give us any signs of what to expect in the coming days? So let's turn to 2 Timothy. We read this, earlier. 2 Timothy, I'll start there. Chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. We are told this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times. Fierce times, dangerous times. But this know, understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times, times of great distress, times of trouble will come. There will be difficult times, difficult days. In fact, it will be hard to bear. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They will be unloving. They'll be devoid of natural human affection. They'd be calloused, inhumane, antagonistic, malicious, devoid of self-control or immoral, brutal, haters of good. Today we read in the news, etc., or hear on the news, parents, mothers killing their children, children killing their parents. We read about the inhumanity that took place in Israel and Gaza. These things are to be expected. How do we know that? Because God has told us. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They hold a form of outward godliness, outward religion, religion. Although they've denied the power, they have nullified by their actions, by their dresses, they've nullified their claim of faith. In other words, they're not practicing their faith, as the Bible teaches. From such, turn away. Have we, in the religious realm, have we turned away from God? As we look at the churches today, do we see a corruption in the churches? God says adultery is wrong. Are there adulteries in the churches? God says marriage between two men or two women is wrong. Do we see that in the churches today? I don't know how many churches I've gone by, driven by, and there's a big gay flag hanging on the front. You read in the papers. There's a gay bishop. Corruption in the churches. Holding a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Let's drop down to verse 12. Yea, and in all that we... And yet in all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Are those that are trying to do right being stifled? Is the church being persecuted? Is evilness growing more and more? Those are questions I have. And God is telling us, yes. Should we be expecting that? Yes. Now, having said that, let us turn to the Gospel of Mark. Matthew, Mark. And I want to go to chapter 13, Mark 13. There's no doubt that we live in a troubled time. Chapter 13. Beginning in verse 3, Mark 13, verse 3. And as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when these things be." And You have to go back and I'll go back to verse 1 to fill this in. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Look at these magnificent buildings. Took years to build. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us when these things shall be. And what shall be the sign? Here it is. What shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled. And that word trouble there is alarm. Be not alarmed. Be not frightened. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not be. Those things must come to pass. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in different places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. Skipping down to verse 12. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children rise against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Troubling times. We are in troubling times. One more place, John chapter 14. So far, it doesn't seem like a very happy New Year coming up. John 14, verse 1. Jesus said, Let not your heart be troubled. And there's our word trouble again. And here it means that let not your heart be restless. Don't lose your calmness. Don't be all stirred up and agitated. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Don't let the things that are happening get you all upset. I told you those things are going to be. And I've promised you, I'm coming again to receive you to myself. So, what's the remedy of all this? Let's take a look at the Old Testament, one place in the Old Testament, in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 51. Verse 6, Isaiah 51, verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. You look up, what do you see? Lift up your eyes now, what do you see? The stars, the universe. Now look down upon the earth. For the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth shall wax old or grow old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. My salvation shall be forever. My righteousness shall not be abolished. My justice and promises shall be forever. I promised you that I'm coming again to receive you unto myself. That's a promise. It will not be broken. Now back to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 21. Verse 25. Luke 21:25. This is about the return of the Lord. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. When these things begin to occur, stand tall. Lift up your heads for joy. Why? Because your redemption draws near. Your sufferings are over. Peace has come. One more place, 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. We started here in the beginning. I want to go down to verse 14. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is given by God for encouragement, for comfort, for strength, for hope in these days. That's the believer's resource, the scripture, God's word, who encourages us in these days. One more place. Psalm, book of Psalms, chapter 23. As we go into 2024, and we're facing all these battles, if you will, all these situations, conditions, as we see the world going up in flames, as we see our country going down the tubes, I'll put it that way. The pillars of our society collapsing. Is there any hope? Is there any comfort? Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord, is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your keeper? I shall not be in want. Is he taking care of you? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Is that even now? In times of trouble? Is he doing that? Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the valley of no sun, sunless, a sunless valley of deep, deep darkness, the shadow of death. Every time I read that, I think of the time I think it was Luray Caverns, one of those caves. And I took a tour, and we go down with the tour guide down into this cave. And he told the group of us, he said, I'm going to turn the lights off now, so I don't want anyone to move. He said, I want you to see what darkness is. So he hit the switch, and here you are in this big cavern, and you can even see down a tunnel. All the lights go off. And he kept them off for about 30 seconds, which seemed longer than that. But I remember distinctly trying to open my eyes as wide as I could, and I put my hand right in front of my face, and I couldn't see it. That's deep darkness. Even though we walk through the valley of deep darkness, I will fear no evil. Those things that I can't see, I'm not going to fear that. Why is that? For my shepherd, my Savior, is with me. We read that I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Whose rod? Whose staff? It's not mine. His rod, his staff, his rod, his authority, his protection, his staff, his support to guide me. He protects me. He supports me. He guides me through the darkness. Verse 6. Skipping to verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, even through the valley of deep darkness, even through what our country is going through, even through what the world is going through. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do those words comfort you? If you're not saved, your hope is in either yourself or the government. You see how that's working out. My hope is in the Lord. I'm going to close with this. It was written by A.W. Tauzer. I usually don't do this, but I thought this was apropos to what we're talking about. Some of you may be familiar with this. So I'm going to read it word for word. Starts off, we must meet the present emergence, oh, by the way, this was written way back in 1960, so we've come a ways. We must meet the present emergency with a spirit of optimism. This is no time for repining, no time for looking backward, no time for self-pity or defeated complaining. We are on the winning side, and we cannot lose. Matthew 28:20 says, lo, I am with you always. Makes ultimate defeat impossible. Surely the days are evil and the times are waxing late. But the true Christian is not caught unaware. He has been forewarned of just such times as these and has been expecting them. Present events only confirm the long-range wisdom of Jesus Christ and prove the authenticity of the prophetic word. So the believer actually turns defeat into victory and draws strength from the knowledge that the Lord, in whom he trusts, has foretold events and is in full command of the situation. Let us beware allowing our spiritual comforts to rise and fall with world news or the changing political economic situation. We who lean upon Jesus and trust in the watchful love of a heavenly Father are not dependent upon those things for our peace. It is not a pleasant thing to see a group of Christians huddled around the radio listening with worried faces to the newscaster or to the commentator painting lurid pictures of atomic bombs or the destruction of whole populations by bacteriological warfare. Where is our faith? Where is our confidence in the final triumph of Christ? All that these gentlemen say may be true. We have no desire to deny that the signs are ominous, and the end is drawing near. But we refuse to get panicky. It may easily be that before long, one or another of our cities go up in a puff of smoke and leave no one to tell how it happened. It may be that our own land may be invaded and made to suffer along with other nations of the earth. We have been spared hitherto, but we have no guarantee for the future. God may yet chasten us with fire and blood for our presumptuous sins and for our high-handed flouting of his holy laws. No one can say for certain, but it could be. But suppose it should be. Does that spell the defeat of all our hopes? Is our sense of security dependent upon the turn of events in Washington or Moscow? Is God the God of our better days and not the God of our sorrows too? Is there not a sure hope beyond the smoke and the rubble of the grave? Is there no difference between Egypt and the children of Israel? Is there not blood on a few doorposts here and there? We must face today as the children of tomorrow. We must meet the uncertainties of the world with the certainty of the world to come. To the pure in heart, nothing really bad can happen. Oh, he may die. But what is that to a Christian? Not death, but sin should be our great fear. Without doubt, the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Sooner or later, that will come. But what of it? Do not we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness? Surely this is not the time for pale faces and trembling knees among the sons of a new creation. The darker the night, the brighter the faith shines, and the sooner comes morning. Look up, lift up your heads. Our redemption draws near. Happy New Year. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for all your promises. Lord, that we can know the end. We see all these things happening. It could be discouraging and troubling. And sometimes we do weep as we see the things taking place. And God, we cry out, where are you? But you have told us in your word, be not troubled, for I am coming, and I will make all things right. So we thank you for that encouragement and for that comfort. In Christ's name, amen.